Wow. Okay. I just came running back into the studio.
I was just about to take the show over, Sean.
No worries.
You're lucky I didn't lock the door on you.
I was next door in the studio. It's Chris Partee and Luke Morrow in for the guys on In the Loop today, and I was asking him what the question of the day is. Question of the day in this, and I'm giving it away right now, but they'll reiterate it when they come back in here. In the spirit of Arch Manning, what's the most underwhelming debut that you can remember?
Ooh. Oh yeah.
So
oh God. Yeah.
Not for you, not your debut at anything, Seth, necessarily. Just like the
I'm just remembering it now.
Somebody that you rooted for. Okay, so you got an answer. Okay.
Not one that I'm going to say on air. Yeah. I think I think most men probably share the same sentiment.
It's pretty underwhelming.
I feel bad for younger men these days though, because I feel like they've been more exposed to people performing certain things way better than they ever will in their life.
Yeah.
So you probably
Olympic level.
Like way more than we ever were. So their expectations of themselves are probably unrealistically high.
That's hilarious.
This is, speaking of MVP caliber performances.
Yes.
I didn't expect to wake up today and feel the disrespect. But I felt disrespect. The Athletic, in an article by Jeff Howe, has NFL decision makers' predictions for 2025.
Okay.
He pulled 30 anonymous coaches and executives around the NFL to get their thoughts on the upcoming season. And frankly, look, I wouldn't have felt disrespected if the Texans didn't win a lot of these polls.
Right.
But the number of polls in which they didn't show up at all in the voting or got nary, they just only got one vote. I'm a little peeved, Sean.
Okay.
I'm a little peeved. I've got a chip on my shoulder.
Okay, I'm gonna need to lean on you to steer the ship on this thing, because the link is not opening for me right now.
I apologize. I probably put the wrong link in, Sean.
No, you didn't.
Hold on a second.
No, you didn't.
Oh,
I literally clicked on it from I went to the homepage for The Athletic, clicked on it, wouldn't open from there either. So, yeah.
Okay. Who's the MVP? 30 responses. And look, I didn't expect CJ to win this.
Okay.
Because you've got Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes. They get the lion's share of the votes.
Okay.
That makes sense. Pat Mahomes, honestly, come on, guys. Like, put your thinking cap on. If you watch the Chiefs offense the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's not been good.
He hasn't been playing like an MVP. I'm not saying it's his fault, but they didn't do anything to really fix the offensive line either.
They did.
They drafted a rookie with attitude issues and a torn patellar tendon to play left tackle.
Yeah.
And they don't have a good offensive line.
They traded Joe Tooney away. So they, now anybody in Kansas City listening to the two of us saying this would go, well, you guys traded Laremy Tunsil away. What are you talking about?
Right. But we're talking about them just making Pat Mahomes the slam dunk third place winner here for MVP.
And if Mahomes didn't win it last year, having a lesser year statistically, then he's not going to win it this year. They went 15-2 last year. You know, they were winning all those close games. It was kind of tailor-made for him to win an unexpected MVP.
Lamar Jackson coming in fourth place there. I think Ravens fans should actually be honestly a little bit angered about that he would be fourth place finisher after a lot of them are irate that he didn't win it this past year.
So that's interesting. So the top four finishers are the four guys who have been the top four quarterbacks in every quarterback power ranking this offseason and are all in the AFC.
This is what's gonna chap your butt, Sean.
Okay.
There's two players that got one vote apiece.
Let me guess. One of them's Justin Herbert.
Yeah. I shouldn't have teased it with it. It was going to chap you.
That's okay. I like guessing. That's okay. Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert, who's in an offense where I do think Justin Herbert I don't think he got as much credit as he should have for their regular season performance last year. But that offense is very much about making it as easy as possible and to not have to lean on Justin Herbert. I don't think that's an offense that's going to make Justin Herbert an MVP. And then the other one vote was for Jaden Daniels. CJ Stroud didn't get a single vote. Got Jaden Daniels and Justin Herbert each getting at least one vote.
Jaden Daniels doesn't peeve me because I get it. He's sort of what CJ...
Yeah.
He is this year what CJ was going into last year. Like, it's historic rookie of the year season. Engineers a huge turnaround. He actually was statistically maybe better than CJ as a rookie, and he went deeper in the playoffs. He made it to the conference title game as a rookie. If it had been Sam Darnold, I would have been peeved about that one. If that would be the other one.
This next category is always interesting because you're starting a franchise from scratch. Who are the top three the top three quarterbacks you would take. This is weird. So they must have listed three, but there's only 31 responses. I don't understand. But anyway, so the question here is always, all right, you got to take age into it. And they were asked to take age and contract into consideration.
Yeah, yeah.
So the top three, though, they seem to have ignored the age part of it a little bit. Okay. Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, and Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
I kind of get that, though, too, because I think a lot of people are thinking like, well, yeah, I want to start off on the right foot if I'm going to start this franchise. And then we'll figure out who his replacement is at some point. Then Lamar Jackson. CJ Stroud got two votes here.
Yeah.
The thing I've got, it bothers me that CJ is so young and that four people gave Justin Herbert votes and only two gave CJ Stroud a vote.
Yeah, dude. Anything involving Justin Herbert being better or a greater asset moving forward.
Starting a franchise with him.
Any poll like that that has Justin Herbert ahead of C.J. Stroud can just go to hell.
You know who got an equal number of votes as C.J. Stroud to start off your brand new franchise with?
Who?
Drake May and Baker Mayfield.
I was gonna guess Baker, actually.
I bet that would be the contract. Now, he doesn't. He's going to get a new contract probably.
Tampa's,
he might actually, they might announce it within a week or so, like before the Texans game perhaps. So Baker Mayfield, that might make sense because he's like kind of a, you might look at him as a bridge quarterback while you draft a guy.
Maybe. And I think he signed a deal. This is year three for him in Tampa Bay. He came there on like a 1 year, $5 million deal. He signed a 3 year deal last year for like $100 million. But he's outplaying that deal. He threw 41 touchdown passes last year. You're right. He might get an extension before the season starts.
Okay, so
Baker? Who's Drake May?
Yes, yes.
Drake May.
Drake May. Yeah, Drake May, Sean.
Same number of votes as C.J. Stroud. What the hell?
I think those guys are probably thinking of it as like, you know what? Get a couple years with him. We won't give him a new contract right away. And they can't just yet anyway. So we'll see what we have in him, but then we can also plan to draft if we need to.
I think he is. I think Drake May is in a more stable situation now than he was as a rookie. I mean, Gerard Mayo was his coach last year.
I'm going to get offended on behalf of Broncos fans here. How the hell does Trevor Lawrence and Bo Nix get the same number of votes?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
One vote for each of those. Cam Ward, one vote. I get that. Okay. Yeah. It's like getting a first round pick and the number one overall pick. There you go.
Yep.
This one, be prepared to be disrespected.
Okay,
Sean.
Okay. I'm in my disrespect stance right now. Let's go.
Who will be the best defensive player in the league this season?
Willie Anderson Jr. That's what I said.
Only six players got votes. Myles Garrett got 17 votes. Okay. I can accept that.
Okay.
T.J. Watt and Max Crosby. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Micah Parsons only got three votes. Okay. Now this was done before the Green Bay. It's weird. It shouldn't change what his individual performance is like. But I wonder if in Green Bay, people are more inclined to give him credit, on an actually good team.
I wonder if when this voting took place, because I'm guessing it took place before the trade late last week, if there were people that were wondering, okay, is he going to hold out? You know, how much is he going to play? Like with it, he had this mysterious back ailment, which all of a sudden is all better. You know, I wonder if there was so much murkiness around the Cowboys situation, or it could just be that people think T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett are better than Micah Parsons.
So Chris Jones got a vote and Jared Verse got a vote. No votes for Will Anderson. I feel like this one, I wish they had done it kind of like they do with who's the best offensive player who isn't a quarterback. I feel like they should have done best defensive lineman who isn't Myles Garrett.
Who isn't Myles Garrett? Who isn't.
Yeah, because I'd like to see Will Anderson on here.
Yeah,
that was and it's interesting. They're all edge rushers. All of these guys.
Yeah.
Other than Chris Jones.
Yep.
Jared Verse got a vote, which I feel like that's somebody just throwing one on a flyer. This is interesting about Myles Garrett. And this kind of some people wonder sometimes about like, okay, how much value does a defensive player really have? The one coach said, your whole game plan is centered around one guy. It's a bleeping nightmare.
Yeah.
Use the F word. I didn't want to say that on the radio.
That's smart. Yeah, that's smart. Well, and is there any D'Amico disrespect going on?
Yes.
That offense, defense, all I need is coaching.
Who are the three best defensive play callers in the NFL?
Oh, well, definitely D'Amico Ryans is one of them, for sure, I would say.
So each person got three votes, and it actually sums up this time. D'Amico Ryans, out of 60 potential or 90 potential votes, only got one vote on this one.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's wild to me. Did Matt Burke get any votes? Is there any conflating of who the person is in Houston?
Oh, that's a – No. I think that probably what happened here is Vic Fangio got the most votes. Yeah. Brian Flores got the second most. Steve Spagnuolo. All three of those guys, I think the play – it's not best defensive coordinator. It's best play caller.
Best play caller.
And those three guys do a lot – they have a lot more complexity in their schemes than DeMeco does. So if you change the verbiage to best defensive coordinator, I think it might have changed a little bit. DeMeco tries to keep it as simple as possible for guys so they can play fast. So that's – the play calling, it being called best play caller is going to favor guys like that.
Who are the top – so is Fangio – who was second?
Fangio, Flores, Spagnuolo, Mike McDonald, and then, oh, Vance Joseph.
Okay.
Were the top five.
Okay. Yeah, see, that's interesting, too. Like, the ones that aren't, Mike McDonald is a head coach who operates as the defensive coordinator. Those other four guys are all DCs for offensive head coaches. You know, like, I wonder if that shines a spotlight on you more when you just get everything delegated over to you as a DC. Like, Fangio and Spagnuolo and Vance Joseph. I mean, they feel like the ones who aren't head coaches feel like they're the head coach of their defense. Maybe that's part of it too.
You know what though, too, that's also, it's interesting because that's a very 3-4 heavy. So in a 3-4 there's a natural, I think all of them are 3-4s actually. In a 3-4, there's a lot more complexity naturally just because you've only got three defensive linemen. The linebackers are used as a defensive lineman. You're bringing guys from different areas. Yeah. So it's just a naturally it's more fun to watch the X's and O's in a 3-4 than it is in a 4-3.
Do they predict a Super Bowl champion, these executives? Do they have other predictions here where the Texans are getting
disrespected? I don't know. I had such a hard time moving down through all of them that I was just, okay – three teams that will exceed expectations they had.
Okay. The Texans will not make this list.
They got one vote.
They did?
At the very bottom, along with the Cowboys. And then the Lions, which is just, I think expectations are pretty high, so they're not going to get a lot of votes. The Jets only got one vote, which is, that's disrespect towards Aaron Glenn.
Yeah.
And yet I can't blame people because I think a lot of people like Aaron Glenn but feel like, no, I don't think anybody can overcome the ownership of that dreadful franchise.
First franchise. All right. Okay, cool.
The Texans did get three votes for three teams that will fall short of expectations this season.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. They're getting respect for underachieving potential.
The Lions were an alarming favorite in that regard. Now, the Lions have a new offensive coordinator and a new defensive coordinator.
Yes.
And the head coach is not a coordinator.
Yeah.
Like, that's disrespect towards specifically the head coach on that one.
Yeah, that's factoring in with me heavy as I'm going into fantasy drafts. I still have one more fantasy draft to do this week, and I want so bad to be like, well, I'll just take Jared Goff in the 10th round. He'll get me 30 touchdown passes. Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to get 1,500. Jahmyr Gibbs is this. Sam Laporta is that. Ben Johnson might end up being a big deal there in Detroit. You know, while he was there, he's the coach of the Bears now, obviously.
Here's a quote. They'll win the division, but they're talking about the Texans.
Yeah.
They'll win the division, but they're not Super Bowl contenders.
Okay. Well, that's what they've been the last 2 years. I think that's what most people.
But they're not contenders? They're not contenders?
Contenders. How far deep do you go on the list to define?
I think right now they look at it as, the Ravens and the Chiefs really tore you apart. And I know, listen, you can tell me the final score of the playoff game versus the Chiefs, but in the fourth quarter when it really matters, the offense had no answers down in the red zone there. So it's I get it. They beat the crap out of the Bills, but it was at home when there were just zero healthy receivers for the Bills. So I get where that sentiment comes
from. Look, I'm super excited about this year. I think the offense is going to be better. I think the defense is going to be elite. If we're talking about the exercise that you were just outlining here for the last few minutes, Seth, and we're talking about expectations for the Texans or are they contenders, the first two lists that we went through in this exercise, the best the MVP candidates and the people you would build a franchise around, it was the same top four guys in each of those things, and it was the four best quarterbacks in the AFC who happened to be the most consensus top four I've ever seen for the four best quarterbacks in football are all in the AFC, and they're all teams the Texans are chasing. Maybe they're not chasing Cincinnati, but they're definitely chasing the Ravens and the Chiefs. Yep. And I would suggest they're chasing Buffalo, even though they beat them last year. They're going to get to play all three of them this year. So we'll find out when the season starts, you know, just how good they are compared to them.
The Chiefs and the Ravens on the road are the big ones. Yeah. I mean, that's Buffalo at home. I don't know. I feel freakishly confident about that. And I got to remind myself that, man, all right, Josh Allen did have his receivers were banged up in that game. Yep. And that was by far that was such a one-off compared to how Josh Allen played the rest of the year. So you need to you got to try to knock me off my cocky perch when the Bills come to town.
We get them on a Thursday night, and they're the road team on a Thursday night game. So that's one less. They have a travel day, you know, the Texans don't. They'll sleep in their own beds. That'll help, I think. Chris Partee is here, representing In the Loop. Luke Morrow coming into the room right now. Coming on to the stage, Luke Morrow. What's up, fellas?
What's happening,
How
y'all?
We doing? How we
doing? Pretty good. Happy Labor Day to everybody.
Same to you. On Labor Day, we labor.
That's what we do around here, right?
Absolutely.
No days off.
So Colin is in for Figgy.
Mr. Neal.
And you guys are in for, Colin Neal. And you guys are in for John and Reggie.
Yes.
What is the question of the day?
Question of the day. So this is in, I guess, honor of Arch Manning and his debacle.
Yeah.
Over the weekend.
Yeah.
Honor is one way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, so what is the most underwhelming debut in your life? What's something you were really, really excited for, but it ended up, I guess, falling short?
Not necessarily by
doesn't
a
have
debut
to be sports.
We made. Yeah,
yeah, no. Doesn't have to be sports.
I ran this question by Seth, and it took him to a dark place.
Uh-oh.
Well, like, truth be told, most, pretty much with any new guys. Encounter I've ever had with any woman. But
we've all been there.
You get so excited, you know?
Hey, these things happen, okay?
I'm so happy to be with you.
I was nervous.
Honestly, it was the... This is going to sound dumb, but I think a lot of people listening had the same experience. Bill O'Brien's first preseason game is a brand new head
coach.
That's
a great
where
one.
The starters guys had to stay on the field the entire first half to get it. Was it to even get a first down, Sean?
They got shut out. I know that.
It was really, really bad versus the Arizona Cardinals in the first preseason game of this new offensive-minded head coach with his game plan offense coming out of the coaching wellspring that is the New England Patriots? Yes.
Two funny things about that. One is that the irony of that performance in that game was that, yeah, the Texans were the worst team in football the year before, but largely touted as like, hey, they have a lot more talent than their record. They had a lot of injuries, and Schaub is throwing pick sixes all over the place.
This is
actually not a bad 2-14 team.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then, you know, you debut Ryan Fitzpatrick as your quarterback there, and it's like, okay, now they're a bad 2-14 team.
August 9th, 2020. These were the drives in the first half. 3-and-out. 2 plays, interception. Then in the second quarter, they had somehow 46 yards on 11 plays and a punt. Then a 4-and-out. And then finally, the last play. Oh, I didn't even remember it. 7 plays and an interception. Those were the drives in the first half with your starters on the field.
So that was, okay, you said 2020. I think you meant 2014, right?
2014, yes, 2014. Okay.
I just wanted to make sure we didn't have a bad start in 2020 as well. So there's that. The other thing I remember, that was the first game. That was my first Texans game as a 6'10 employee.
Okay.
So I was doing post game. I must have fired 4 people.
Oh my goodness.
Whitney Merciless, you're out of here. I was firing people left
and people
right.
Left and right going out.
Firing people, yeah.
I'm sorry to do box score reading on this, but we got to go into the third quarter. And it's just a preseason game. 5 plays and a punt. Next series, 3-and-out. Next series, 3-and-out. And then they ended the game with a safety. Oh, my God.
Cherry on top.
What was the final
32
score?
32-0 was the final score in that game.
I got to go back and find Bill O'Brien's press conference for that.
Yeah.
I feel like that needs like a mini 30 for 30.
There's
got to
be some sound bites in there.
Dude.
Something good.
Yeah, something in the system in there.
August 9th, 2014. You got me nervous after I said, I don't know why I said 2020, but August 9th, 2014.
You still got the 2020 draft on your brain from a couple of seconds ago.
That might be one of the most depressing offensive drive charts I've ever seen in any game ever. Oh my gosh.
That team went 9-7 that year.
I know. So that's what we were looking at. Yeah. And we were freaking out.
That's a good one.
It's like when the Lions went 4-0 in preseason, and they went 0-16 in the regular season.
Yeah.
They were like, we're going to be good this year.
That's right up there with that.
Right. Anyway, Sean, what was yours?
I told you guys mine. Mine is a wrestling nerd one from back in the day. But I think even like the even the new wrestling fans have seen the footage of this one because it gets replayed every year at Thanksgiving at
all
Survivor Series time. I was in the building for this at the Hartford Civic Center in 1990. The debut, the big debut, was the Undertaker. That was the Undertaker's debut. That was legendary. The other thing was WWF back then had this gigantic egg. Like an egg the size of this table that they had been showing on TV for 2 months, and they were teasing the egg is going to hatch at Survivor Series on Thanksgiving in Hartford, Connecticut. And they were building this thing up crazy, this gigantic egg, and everybody's the rumors were abounding. Is Ric Flair going to join WWF and pop out of the egg? Like, what wrestler is going to pop out of the egg? And I remember being there that night, and they have a drum roll. Brrr, and this egg hatches, and it's some dude in a turkey outfit who's just dancing around in the ring. And just they called him the gobbledygooker. And I'm like, what is this? I remember, did I pay for?
I remember being 7 years old watching it vividly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, even at 7 years old, I'm like, what the hell is this?
Dosey going with Mean Gene Okerlund in the ring, and I'm like, that's not Seth's Googling it right now. I can tell.
I'm looking at it. Yeah.
That's not Ric Flair.
Seth, you have to check that out.
I know, and it wasn't even a guy. You couldn't see his face or anything. It was all turkey, and it was all feathers and head.
Yeah.
And it had a chicken head. Yeah. It didn't even have a turkey head. It's got a white chicken head with brown turkey feathers.
Yes.
What the hell?
Yeah.
And it's actually Hector Guerrero, which is one of Eddie Guerrero's uncles.
That's who was underneath the
costume. Who was underneath there,
I think it was going to be like the new logo or something.
He's supposed to be like a mascot for WWF.
Which, again, is like,
Why did it have a chicken head?
So what was it like in the arena?
Like to be kinda here like watching it is right that. Now. Kind of like
everybody
it is
laughing.
Right now. We're all looking at each other like, what is going on? No, I don't even know. People were mad. They were booing it. Okay. Like because they hyped it up.
They did.
Like imagine.
There's one. Well, it must have made more than one appearance, too, because I'm looking at one where it has a purple head, but then there's another one where it has a white head.
House show. Seth, they've brought him back as a joke numerous times through the years.
Okay.
Yeah, like they. WWF ended up admitting, like,
they had to acknowledge this finally.
Yeah.
They finally had to acknowledge it. Yeah, this was bad.
It was really bad. So, that's mine. Not good.
I thought maybe you were going to say the Shockmaster when talking
about
that.
Oh, that'd be a bad one, too.
Wrestling
that
debuts.
That's a good one, too. Just burst through the wall and trips over his. He had a Stormtrooper helmet on that was covered in glitter.
That's
you could do this whole topic just on wrestling.
It's true. Yeah.
Formerly Tugboat.
Yeah.
I was at the Hartford Civic Center when Ultimate Warrior debuted at WCW, it was terrible. Hulk Hogan.
That was bad, too.
Oh, really? Yeah. Why was it terrible?
Because he went off script. Yeah, he went off script. They were going on for like 20 minutes, the two bickering at the entrance in the ring, and people were booing that and walking to the concession stand, and it was just terrible.
Yeah.
Wow.
He wasn't the same
two
guy.
Two olds just yelling at each other. I remember that.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Seth, that's a great pull. That Cardinals preseason game is
I didn't remember that it was as bad as it was.
I mean,
you can't overreact to preseason games, but that was that was really bad.
I'll never forget doing post game for that one. That was that was my first post game show at 6:10. I'm like,
people calling for the coach to be fired after one preseason game.
Calling for people to be fired. It was crazy. Because I'd never done a post-game show before, so I'm like, I think this is what I'm supposed to
right?
do. I was like hot taking all the firings. Yeah. I was firing everybody. It was great. And Meltzer's looking across the table at me like, oh, wow. Sean's coming in hot.
He's on a roll here.
All right. By the way, you're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM, HD2, Houston and Odyssey Sports Station. Crosstalk has been brought to you by D&M Leasing. Crosstalk has been brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing. Seth? Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies, and I don't want to hear any of that gobbledygook out of you tomorrow, okay? It's for real tomorrow.
I'm going to come in my turkey outfit.
Please do that.
We are done. We are out of time.